is a regular one. They like to have, they have this party. There's like, you, we've done it 5 years in a row now. It started off like 20 people. There was like 60 people there Saturday.
They're just at a private residence. Yeah. They just invite their friends over. And they drink a lot. Makes that was going to be my next question.
Makes them dance to every song. Like it's the greatest hit they've
yeah.
ever heard.
Yeah.
They're a lot of fun because they really get into it.
Yeah. Your inhibitions get dissolved. That, I mean, you need to play to an audience with low inhibitions.
How are
Hi, Brianna. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Hello down there.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Sorry, take it through.
Thanks.
Okay, just in case the neighbors start complaining.
Bill.
Hey.
Wilford's fault.
Hi there.
Yeah. How are you guys?
Okay.
Good. this is a pledge. Are you going solo today?
There was
going
a family emergency, so
oh
yes.
No. Oh.
Everything's okay now.
The motorcycle was sick, or is it?
It was one of the humans, not the motorcycle. So, but everything's okay now. She just
had to go
at the hospital with them.
Nice.
Well, I'm glad that it's stabilized. Whatever's happening. Are you, you're ready on your end? Okay.
Clear that.
Suppose you're all wondering why we gathered here today.
Yeah.
All right. This.
We're just waiting for Natalie again.
Did that cost you the 30 seconds?
Cost me that 30 seconds. I know.
All right, it looks like we have a full commission, and it's after 6:30, so we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome everybody to Planning Commission. Before we jump into the agenda, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance led by Commissioner Ward.
Would the audience please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, and before we jump into the regular items, we begin with anybody that has any public comments at this time. So just please come forward if you do. Seeing none, we'll move on. Our first item is consideration of a request for an additional 12-month extension of approval for Eaglewood Cove Phase 13 to 15. And I know Mr. Cannon is here. So, and are you able to introduce this item? Okay.
Yes. Great. So bear with me. I did find out kind of late that I was going to be presenting all of these, so some will be better than others, but we'll get through it tonight. It's going to be great. A little bit of background on this. As you are aware, the concept plan for Eaglewood Cove Phases 13 through 15 was previously recommended for approval by the Planning Commission on July 12th in 2016 and was approved by the City Council on August 2nd in 2016. They are, those concept plan approvals are valid for 1 year at a time, and they are allowed to have three 1-year extensions. So they had their first 1-year extension approval on August 8th, 2017, and their second 1-year extension on their concept plan approval on September 25th, 2018. So they're here before you today for their third and final concept plan extension request for this. The developer has hired a new geotechnical consultant, and the required additional time to complete their evaluation on the property is why this extension has been requested. The progress on the project has been delayed due to conflicting opinion on the geotechnical investigation between the city consultant and the developer's consultant. An independent third party is wrapping up their review, and the final reports and conclusions should be available within the next few weeks. So it's progressing. It's not just staying as a stalemate item, but there have been no changes to the layout and or the design or number of proposed lots, which will make up this project. Within your packets and posted on the city's website are the previous staff reports from 2016 regarding this project, but here you can see their concept plan and where it is up on the hill, and you can kind of see why the geotechnical study is so important. It's up in the sloped area. But with that, I will turn it over to you. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Okay, thanks, Kate. And Mr. Cannon, would you like to add anything at this time?
I'd be happy to respond to questions.
Okay.
But I think you have all the information that's relevant.
All right, sounds good. So questions from the commission?
Just a curious question. Who is the third party being paid by?
Us.
Okay.
So they are motivated to get this finalized.
And maybe stating the obvious, this request for an extension is the details of that conflict are, in my view, not really material to this question. So I don't know if you all have a different sense of it, but this is pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I can't see any reason why the city would now say we're not going to give you the extension.
Yes.
So resolve it, you know, hopefully it gets resolved properly. But I can't see why we would say no.
So if there are not any other questions or comments, then the chair would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission approve a second 12-month extension for the concept plan approval of Eaglewood Cove Phase 13 through 15, subject to all previous conditions of approval.
Is there a second?
A second.
Should that say third?
Yes, it should say third.
I know that in the motion that it says second, but I think it should say third.
Correct.
Is it
third 12-month extension?
You accept that friendly amendment of a
yes.
Apparent typo?
Yes.
Okay. All right, any discussion on the motion? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries.
I was going to second, third.
Yeah. All right, our next item is consideration of an amended application for a concept plan for Arrowhead Twin Homes at 150 East, 350 North. And is the applicant here today? Okay, great. All right. Ms. Wert, take it away.
Okay, so this particular location likely looks familiar to you. In July 2018, the developer had requested to rezone this to a P district and construct a three-story, 27-unit multifamily apartment complex there. The Planning Commission had recommended disapproval to the City Council on the original plans, and ultimately that application was withdrawn from the City Council agenda. So based on some feedback that they received, both from the Planning Commission and especially from the City Council, the developer has submitted a new application, a revised concept plan for your review, especially the City Council's response. They met with them individually to get some feedback on that two-story apartment complex that you looked at as an option, and then these twin homes. So due to what the City Council said, they've moved forward with this. But per the advice of the city attorney, the developer had submitted an application prior to the moratorium, which we're currently in, and which would regularly apply to this particular zone. But as that application was under review and not completed, and as the developer had approached the Planning Commission and City Council members informally for input on the revised concept plan, they had a vested right to have the associated applications reviewed under the existing city code and are not required to wait until the moratorium expires to undergo this development review. So this is one of those projects that slides through regardless of the moratorium. The proposed concept plan consists of 10 units, which are 5 duplexes on a 1.03-acre project area, and it's at approximately 150 East and 350 North. That's right by the post office. So you can see right there, the post office is where the CH zone writing is on this map. The twin homes will be platted for individual cell with common areas and landscaping for driveways, landscaping and driving driveways, which will be common. The zoning is R17, which does allow for duplexes and twin homes under its current zone, well, under the current city code. We shall see what happens in February. There are two applicable sections of the city code which apply here, both in Title 10. The first is subdivisions. The second is the planned unit development section. Within the planned unit development section, it states that no conditional use permit for a planned unit development shall be granted unless such development will meet the use limitations of the zoning district in which it is located, including planned unit developments in planned districts, and meet the density and other limitations of such districts, except as such requirements may be lawfully modified. So we'll get a little bit more into that later, but that planned unit development section also requires that they meet the conditions of the zone in the area of the area they cover, the arrangement of the structures, that there be open space, and where feasible, the height and intensity of the buildings be arranged around the boundaries of the development. It also reviews the lot area width, yard height, and coverage requirements, but you'll take a more detailed look at that when they get to the preliminary design plan. They have a pretty thorough concept plan, as you've probably noticed from your packets, but those items are more clearly discussed once they get to the next step. Where feasible, they are required to try and allow for free flow of air and access to sunlight on these lots, which they've spaced them out fairly evenly. And they have that southern exposure on at least half the lots, if not more than that, which is the best site for sun exposure in this area. A little bit more on the review. Subdivisions under the city code and state statute are administrative actions. The state code and case law require that if the proposed subdivision meets the minimum standards required by code, the application must be approved. Subdivisions in general and planned unit developments more specifically are conditional uses in the city code. State code and case law state that conditional uses are permitted uses with conditions. Therefore, if the development meets the minimum standards and reasonable conditions can be used to mitigate impacts of the development on the community, it also must be approved. And as you are aware, there are a few steps that a planned unit development must go through, and those three steps include the concept plan, which is the step we're at now, the preliminary plan, and the final plat. So for this concept plan's portion, what you need to address for this administrative action, the first item is density. With this PUD subdivision, it requires that the density meet what the current zoning allows. This lot is zoned R17, and as mentioned previously, the R17 zone does allow for duplexes. There's about 45,954 square feet here, and they, based on a 8,500 square foot requirement per duplex, so per two units, they could have 5.4 duplexes, but rounding, they are allowed the 10 units or 5 duplexes. So, the layout, which is another item that you are reviewing at the concept point, is the proposal for those 10 units on the 1.03 acre site. As mentioned previously, they are going to be platted for sale. They will share a private roadway, which you can see they're running down the center, and they will share common area. Each of the 10 units will front that private road and have a two-car garage in the front. The setbacks for these do meet the R17 zone setbacks. They have a 25-foot setback from 350 North right there. They also have the minimum side setback of 8 feet is what is required. They actually have their smallest side yard setback is 10.3 feet, so they are within that. And then there's a rear setback of 25 feet, which this is a little bit of a unique lot, but they definitely have over 25 feet in the rear area on this particular lot.
Kate, one question on the setbacks, just to clarify. So the side yard requirement is a total of 20. So if one side is 10, then the other side
has to be 10. So because they could go down to 8 feet here under the
and
code.
We can vary from that, right?
And you can go smaller from
yes. And would this require us to vary that?
No, they are completely within their right. They could go down to 8 feet without you having to.
Well, as long as they still have 20 total.
Yeah, 20 total, which they do. They're good there with their setback distances.
Yeah, I'm not trying to split hairs, but I think they may not be.
Oh,
which
they
is
aren't? Oh.
Because you've got 10.8 on left of the number 5, and then you can only count half of the space in between 6 and 7, right?
Let's counting all of it.
You can't double count that. And that's not necessarily, I mean, look, we can approve that. I'm just noting it.
Yes. Kay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I thought they were the minimum is 8. Total overall should be 20, but you have the right as the Planning Commission to accept smaller than that, as you did on Tag Orchard. You are not required to, but you are able to. I am not seeing those dimensions in here. I'll look that up while you guys are discussing in a second to double check those setbacks. Going on to height and stories. So the maximum height is 35 feet for this zone. These twin homes are two stories tall, and while they have not proposed a height yet, they're likely within that height, which will be clarified at the preliminary plan phase. So they're likely within that, but you'll find out at the next application. There is no minimum lot size, the minimum lot size for the zone has been met. They are well within that. For coverage of homes, they're at 25.7% coverage. The maximum allowed in this area is 35%, so they're within that. Their landscaping is well above with that minimum of 10% required by the code. They have 47.42% landscaping, which is a significant amount over the code. Parking, which is usually an item of concern. For this zone, two parking spaces for each residential unit are required, and it is required that one of those parking spaces be covered. Each of the proposed townhomes has that two-car garage, providing 20 spaces. Additionally, each unit has one guest parking spot adjacent to the unit. You can see them just kind of popped in on those ones, and then these ones don't, but we'll get there. Units 5 through 8 have driveways capable of two cars parking in them. You can see that space there. For another 8 parking spaces, and then units 9 and 10 can both fit one additional car. So the minimum parking required by the code is 20, and they have 30 parking spaces. They also have the guest parking dispersed fairly moderately throughout the site, so it's easy for their visitors to park there. There are no amenities proposed for this site. However, because they are within the code, within their zoning, the R17, they're not required to have an amenity. Of note, number 10, this came up last time this application was reviewed. The installation of underground infrastructure on 350 North is subject to the expiration of the 3-year road cut moratorium. So that road is new. They can't cut into it until at least 3 years after it's been constructed. I can't remember when that was. Okay, July. So it's coming, but they can't cut that road until July of next year. Oh, yeah. Sherry put in there that it's late summer 2020, so just be aware of that. A notice was sent out, but because this is an as-of-right use for this property, this is not a public hearing, but the neighbors were made aware of this, and they were invited to submit a comment on environmental items such as erosion, dust, soil concerns, any grading, groundwater concerns, vegetation, wildlife, those types of items. I have not received any comment, and as of September 19th, Sherry hadn't either. I unfortunately don't know if she received any between September 19th and today. I can text her if you would like, and she should be able to get back to us. But with that said, there are three findings. That 3-year moratorium on the new road is one of those findings. They cannot cut the road until that moratorium is over. You have the authority to authorize standards and requirements for this subdivision, including lot area, width, height, yard, and coverage, including those setbacks. And then the proposed development does meet the minimum standards of a planned unit development subdivision in the R17 zone. So with that, I will turn it over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Werritt. Any initial questions for the staff?
Kate, I might have misunderstood what you were saying, but I see the parking spots next to units 1, 2, 3, and 4. But I don't see any next to 5 through 10. Are there going to be additional parking spots near those units?
So I was going off what Sherry put in her report, but I'm not seeing any there.
So we'll ask.
This might be a good one for the developer to comment on.
If you could just state your name.
Yeah, my name is Paul Poteet. So first I want to address the setback question that you had. We are in compliance with code. So I pulled up the plan on my computer here. These units to the east, we have a 12-foot setback. And then the units to the west, we have the two on the northern. Lots 5, 6, 7, and 8 have a 18.8-foot setback. And lots 9 and 10 have a 10-foot setback.
Now we're going off the sides.
Yeah,
we're,
I think
we were talking about the side setback.
So right here,
that's the side yard setback.
This is a 12 foot right here. That's 12 feet, and then the minimum on this side is that 10.3. So they do comply.
I think it's the setback between 5 and 6 that's the concern.
Or 6 and
between
7.
Between
6 and 7.
Sorry, 6 and 7.
Between the two.
Oh, between the two. This is actually outside of. It's the site and the. The parcels surrounding them, not within the project itself.
Correct. Within the PUD, if it's not the property line,
okay.
We just have to comply with building code, which we can with that 10-foot setback.
So the code doesn't state a setback between here, here, or here. There's nothing about that because it's
gotcha. Okay.
Reviewed as a whole, okay. Whole parcel.
Okay.
Sorry, I wanted to address that while it was on my mind, and to come back to your question with the parking. We will not be providing an additional guest parking stall for lots 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 because of the additional driveway space that they have should be plenty to accommodate any guests that they may have. I'm happy to answer any further questions as you have them.
Questions or comments?
Well, the moratorium on 350 seems pretty impactful. It seems like that would be one of your first construction items. So what would your construction schedule look like with that place?
We do not have a specific construction schedule in place. We still need to get blueprints drawn, and that can be sometime. After which we'll send the plans out to bid. We'll choose a bidder, and then we'll have a schedule at that time. And that's after we get the construction drawings done. We'll then submit through city process for the building permit. So we're still ways away. That being said, we can still begin construction on the site and the buildings and leave the connection towards the end of construction in the street.
Can I ask another question? When the last plan for this parcel was here, there were concerns about the height up against the backyards of the existing homes. Have we, is this mitigated with this new plan?
So the original plan was for a three-story building.
Okay.
And these are two-story townhomes.
What's the height of a three-story building?
Remember what that was going to be? I'm guessing it was probably 40 or 45.
I might as well stay up. I think it was 42, 43 feet was the original building.
And what do you estimate the heights of these are going to be?
They're probably going to be around 25 to 30 feet. I think 30 feet would be extremely high.
So you're not anticipating using the full 35?
No.
I feel
no,
like
we'll
that
be well,
mitigates it.
Well under, so it'll be likely around 25 feet.
Great.
Okay, as future development hopefully happens around this site, I think it's useful for us to look out for at least pedestrian connections to future development. And so I would like to suggest that we see easements that enable a potential future PED connections at the two stubs. You're welcome to provide your thoughts on that.
Can you provide clarification as to where that would be located on our site?
Yeah, so the two dead ends. So if you go down Towel Drive, there at the end,
okay,
and then there. So, you know, that would enable a sidewalk to connect through into an adjacent development.
Sure. Right now, those two dead ends are there for the fire access, having the hammerhead to meet that requirement. I don't know that we're opposed to creating a future cross-access agreement, so long as there's something in place that we get to approve or have some right to say how it's used. This will be used as a PUD in the future, managed by a homeowners association, and that may complicate things as far as the maintenance if others were to be allowed to use it. But I don't know that we're opposed to looking at options for that.
I would suggest that to the to our fellow commissioners as a potential
item
in your motion, but that's up to you. Yeah, go ahead.
This one hammerhead to the east. How much lower is the project going to be than the property to the east? Is that, I know over here by the post office, there's going to be a wall there or something, I would imagine. And is there going to be a big difference in elevation on this one hammerhead to the east?
There is a difference in elevation, really, to both of the dead ends there. And so that would be a consideration if it were to ever connect in the future. Whoever was to connect it would need to obviously bring their connection down to accommodate for that, which I can't speak as to the feasibility of that for any future proposed project.
I do have a concern about the stubs. We just had a project a few months ago where they couldn't get the members of the Homeowners Association to agree to allow the street to extend into the new parcel. And so I would hate to see in 5 or 10 years, or hopefully sooner, when the adjacent parcels develop, not being able to connect them. Is there something we can do?
Absolutely.
Because I don't want to have to, I mean, that's the problem with the, I just forgot the guy's name, but next to the Stonehenge.
The Wellington place.
Yeah. So the problem with there is they won't even try to get the HOA together to vote.
So,
and I know it's a lot bigger.
If there is an easement in place, that will give more rights to the city to make that requirement happen.
So could we ask for a pedestrian and a vehicle easement, like a road easement?
Yeah, I think that the issue for us is to just explain that there's a nexus between those requirements and mitigating the impacts of the project. So I think that's us that, I believe that is within our rights to ask for that as we explore this PUD.
And if in the future it doesn't work, that doesn't mean we have to do it, but it does mean that we would have the option if it did work.
This is, as she mentioned, one step of the three required for the development of, or the approval process for the development of this parcel. And I believe that as we continue with the platting of this lot, we'll have more details regarding some of these issues. And if you'd like to recommend that we consider that as we move forward with our preliminary plat and final plat applications, we'd be happy to sit down and see what options our attorney has for us to address that.
We wouldn't even be interested in you platting. Just it would be the easement is in place.
Yeah, we're not going to request. We're going to require.
Yeah, we wouldn't. But it wouldn't be we would want you to add a sidewalk. Connection. It would just be in place so that when the adjacent development comes, the homeowners can't say no.
Great. What I'm saying is we're happy to look at that. Yeah. how we can accommodate your concerns there.
Other comments or questions? Or a motion?
So is that going to be a pedestrian and a vehicle easement?
I think it should be a road easement, and then that would allow for a sidewalk or vehicle.
Because that would have solved the problem over in Stone.
Absolutely, it would have.
Continued that road and made that.
I always call it Stonehenge. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't know if that was what the new one was called anyway, but that would have eliminated that problem where we asked to shift the road back to make it more cohesive and more friendly for connectivity, and they were just too hard to deal with HOA. So if it is a road easement, then that does eliminate that.
I'm ready to make a motion if you're ready to take one.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Let's see how this goes. I move that the Planning Commission recommends to the City Council approval of the concept plan for Arrowhead Twin Homes, located at approximately 150 East, 350 North, with the following findings. One, the proposed development meets the minimum standards for a PUD subdivision in the R17 zone. Two, the Planning Commission has the authority to authorize standards and requirements for PUD subdivisions. And three, underground infrastructure will not be allowed to be installed in 350 North Street until the three-year moratorium on new road construction has expired. And four, an easement will be required at the end of both stub streets along Tidwell Drive.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Can I make a comment? It might be better to make that a condition. But your fourth item a condition rather
yes,
than a
fourth would be a condition instead of a finding. You are correct. Thank you for that catch.
Yeah, good catch, Kate. Other comments on the motion? Do we need to make any further specification about the nature of the easement?
Maybe clarifying.
I just don't know what to call it. It's called a road easement, right? Just would be for a standard city road.
Maybe clarify for vehicular and pedestrian traffic.
Okay, that.
And you accept that?
Absolutely.
Amendment? Okay. All right, any other comments or suggested modifications? Okay. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, great. All right. Next item is the consideration of site plan approval for Mirella at Foxborough Apartments at 760 North Cutler Drive. Bryce Thurgood, is Mr. Thurgood here?
Oh.
Okay, Mr. Robinson. Good to see you. All right, and
I appreciate your service as always. I know this is a thankless duty. I don't have a lot to go over unless you want to ask some questions. I think the packet speaks mostly for itself.
Okay. We could have Kate go through the packet and then see if you have anything you want to add. Does that work?
That'd be perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah, Sherry also agreed with you in that there's not a lot to go over for this one. The development review committee did recommend approval with a few conditions. A little bit on the site plan, we've seen a few different versions of this. So this is the residential component of the Foxborough Marketplace General Development Plan, located at about 790 North Cutler Drive. The residential lot is about 5.124 acres. Per the amended development agreement, the site is approved for 6 multifamily structures with a total of 120 apartments. So these apartments are now 3 stories tall. Last time you looked at them, they were there were some 4-story ones also, but now they're 3 stories tall, and they have been reconfigured to surround a clubhouse, pool area, and the main entrance will be on the north portion of Cutler Drive. A secondary entrance is also going to be provided from the Foxborough Marketplace Shopping Center. As you can see from this image, the proposed architecture is a traditional walk-up apartment style with high-quality materials like brick, hardiboard, and stucco. The architecture is consistent with the existing apartments in the vicinity and the approved development agreement. The building has tuck-under garages and carports, will cover spaces on the east property line adjacent to Redwood Road, along the northern property line, and a portion of the space is abutting the commercial area to the south. The height of the buildings is proposed to be 45 feet, and the clubhouse and the garages match the architecture of the main apartment buildings. They are, the amended development agreement does require the 270 parking stalls, which is 2.25 parking spaces per unit. And there is a minimum of one covered stall per unit, with 71 parking spaces inside garages and 60 below carports. There are 7 ADA parking spaces in this. Some of those are garage spaces and others are outdoor spaces. With the landscaping, including the park strips, they meet their 30% requirement, which is 67,000 square feet. The landscaping along Redwood Road is required to be improved with a minimum distance of 24 feet behind the curb, being improved with an 8-foot asphalt trail, a landscaping berm, and street trees. A park strip and street trees will also be added along Cutler Drive, and there is a landscape berm, or buffer, excuse me, on the north and south property lines with additional street trees. The site is proposed to be fenced along Redwood Road, with a 6-foot or an ornamental metal fence. Fencing along the property line between the shopping center and along Cutler Drive will be split rail vinyl fencing. Additional pedestrian access has been added along Cutler Drive, and the site currently does not show that pedestrian access to the Redwood Road Trail, which is required but is not shown. They have submitted a lighting plan, but they would like additional, I believe it was the city engineer requested additional information relating to lighting in the parking areas to ensure that the fixture styles meet with the standards that are found in the development agreement. The proposed site plan has been evaluated based on compliance with the amended development agreement and the site plan and landscape plans approved within the general development plan. The site plan does comply with requirements for parking, circulation, and traffic, as well as health, safety, and noise. The landscaping and lighting submitted reflect the approved general development landscape plan also. Due to the size of the project, the site will need final approval from the City Council. With smaller projects, you have the right to approve these, but not this particular one. And so this will be a recommendation to the City Council, not a final approval from you. So with that, there are a few conditions that Sherry noted. The trail along Redwood Road can't be closer than 8 feet from the curb at any point. A pedestrian access to that Redwood Road trail is needed for the apartments. Verification of the parking lot light poles in conformance with the development agreement, of themed lighting, and a submittal of an irrigation plan for the landscaping and some follow-up minor red line corrections from the engineering department. With that, I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay, thanks. And Mr. Robinson, anything you'd like to add?
Thank you. It's been a while since I've been to a lot of meetings, but I don't know when the last time you all saw this. It may have been clear back in the first quarter when we were seeking this, so perhaps I could just fill in a few blanks. At the time, you gave us a positive recommendation for 124 units, which included what we were calling kinglets, which were a kind of a fourth-story penthouse, really big, expensive, as per a king, I suppose. And we had several, we met with the City Council. They suggested we have several meetings with open houses with the neighborhood. We did three of those. And some of the outgrowths for that were, of course, we eliminated the kinglets, and now these are just three-story. But we also, as you might note, we're making the entrance on Cutler in the far northwest corner the main entrance. And the rationale for that was that from good feedback we received from the community members in Foxborough was that as you go south toward the roundabout in Foxborough Drive with the charter schools there, there's quite a bit of congestion at various times, and that so we used to have the clubhouse in that where that building that runs east-west in the southeast corner was right up in there, and instead we moved it so that it is on the north side, and that's where the mailboxes are, and that'll be the kind of the center of the project. And so you'll come in off Cutler and on the northwest corner, and that will allow you to go up if it's during high traffic times, it'll be easy to go north and make a right-hand turn on 1100 North and come south onto Redwood and avoid that. And we made a few other changes, but then on the 18th of June, we signed the development agreement that's in your packet, which is a third amendment and we created this Morella at Foxborough, Foxborough Morella entity, and this is a joint venture between myself and the Castle Creek Homes people. And we are in for final building permit, and we would still like to break ground on this yet this season and do the site work. So that's kind of a short update. I'd entertain any questions you might have, but we want to reiterate our appreciation to your past work. Since we've been here, a lot has occurred since the last time we were here.
All right, thank you. Questions or comments?
The one-car garages that you have, are they one car or are they tandem?
They're the one-car garages, they're tucked under, and there will be a car parked out front. So they're one car deep, then with another stall out front on the slab. I don't know if that is the definition of tandem. I kind of think tandem might be two deep inside the structure, but there's one deep in the structure and then one out front.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I really like and appreciate the changes that I see. That's great, having the main entrance over there.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
You know, we went to had three open houses. We didn't have a lot of people come to any one of them, but we got a lot of good ideas out of it. And in the end, we had a lot of supporters, which allowed the city council to move forward. And that was one of them. That was a big one, actually. And the other thing I might add is now we have a nice courtyard there, and the southern exposure on the back of that clubhouse will be nicer than illuminating the front of it. You know, that'll be that'll be sheltered space with, dead south exposure, which especially in the wintertime will make that a really nice space.
Chris, is there a sidewalk along Cutler Drive?
Yes.
Yes, there is.
There will be. There's probably nothing there now. I think we had a fence. We were grazing cattle out there.
There will be a fence.
There will be
a sidewalk if there isn't one.
And, Kate, what is the required open space percent or landscaping percentage?
They're required, I believe it was 30%.
And so they met the requirement.
Well, I think the actual requirement.
It may have been 26.
It was less than that, but we stipulated a minimum in a development agreement of 30%.
Great.
And I think we're actually in excess of that. But the minimum in the development agreement is 30, and we're at that.
They either meet it or are in excess of like 2 or 3%.
It seemed to me we were.
I don't remember what exactly the development.
And then we also were able to glean a few more parking stalls. We went from like 262 to 270, which parks us at 2.25 to 1, which is, this design helped in a lot of ways.
So I'm not totally reading this. Am I correct in assuming that on the, let me make sure I don't say something amazingly stupid, on the north east corner that a pedestrian can get to Redwood there as well as the southeast corner?
Is it Katie?
Yeah, so that's one of the conditions.
So this plan doesn't show that right now. That is, we need to add a connection to that sidewalk, trail, I guess we're calling it, along Redwood. And that's one of the red line things that didn't get changed in this drawing.
Okay.
But just one and not two?
There's one on both the south and the north.
I think just
one. Oh, there will be one on both the south?
The one that's shown here on the north, they just need to add on the south, they need to add another pedestrian connection on the north.
Yeah.
So that really is a pedestrian connection and not just an island?
Or it will be.
Down here is a gate.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the south. And it's noted as 20 on the...
Right, gotcha.
So 20 note indicates a gate there, and then they just need to add a gate at the southern end too.
So the landscape plan is not showing a gate at either of those locations right now? I'm not sure.
I don't know if there were two that... This Bryce has been doing all of this, and he wasn't able to come tonight. But I know that it's one of the requirements mentioned in Sherry's staff report.
If you want to make sure it's two, if you have a strong opinion about that, you could always say two. But the way Sherry has it written, it's just one access point.
Okay.
You have access through the shopping center, of course, when you're on the south side. So the north one, I would think, would be pretty important. Otherwise, you've got to chase the whole distance from the north down to the south to come in if you're walking on that pathway.
Any other comments, questions, or a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Great.
I move that the Planning Commission recommends to the City Council the approval of the requested site plan for Morella at Foxborough, Lot 7 of Foxborough Marketplace at 790 North Cutler, with the following conditions. 1, the trail along Redwood Road be no closer than 8 feet from the curb at any point. 2, 2 pedestrian accesses to the trail on Redwood Road are provided from the property, one from the north side and one from the south. 2's great. 3, verification of parking lot light poles in conformance to development agreement of themed lighting. 4, submittal of irrigation plans for landscaping, including the sizes and locations of all secondary connections. And 5, correction of minor red lines.
Okay, thanks, Commissioner Gordon. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any comments? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, great. All right.
Very much.
Onward. Thanks. Then we are just finding my agenda.
Got it. Yeah, thanks.
Our next item is consideration of preliminary plan and final plat for Orchard Townhomes at 142 South Orchard Drive. That was an accent of some place.
It was interesting.
And is
we weren't able to get over to look at that because of all the
All right,
roads
Kate,
closed.
Take it away.
Okay, so this is the one that was formerly known as Tag Orchard. The name of it is one of the items that the developer hopefully can share with us tonight when they come up. The Development Review Committee does recommend approval. There are some outstanding red lines that will need to be addressed, but... let's proceed. A little bit of background. So the proposed preliminary and final plat applications are being reviewed together at this time. Last time you looked at this application, there were 27 units, but due to the dedication of some land to the city, they lost the ability to have 27 units. It went down to 26 units. So it has been plotted for individual cell for those units with common areas for the landscaping and driveways. The zoning on this property is RM20, which allows for multifamily dwellings as a conditional use. And the previously approved concept plan did do what we were discussing on the a previous application. It reduced the front setback to 15 feet and reduced the side yard setback to 6 feet. So that was one of those places where you made the administrative decision to make that change. So the density of 26 units is based upon the RM20 zone requirements, which within a minimum of acreage of 27 requires a minimum acreage of 7,000 square feet for the first unit and then an additional 1,900 square feet for each additional unit after that. As previously mentioned, subdivisions are an administrative action under both the city code and state statute, so this review is not legislative in nature. The preliminary and final plat for this project are being reviewed concurrently as the plans are quite complete. The final plat and construction drawings have been reviewed for compliance with the city code are in compliance. The only corrections needed for the plat to be amended is the addressing is about the addressing of the individual lots and confirming what those street names are going to be and also what the subdivision will be called. There will be no changes to the layout, design, density, landscaping, parking, or any other feature of this plan. There have been no changes from the concept plan to the approval to now. It's still what you saw last time. Just those minor changes are needed at this time. They are also working to make sure that it remains the two-story front elevation along Orchard, which you requested, and not two-and-a-half-story. Sherry came up with a question about that, which they have either addressed or are addressing. With that, there's a couple findings. First finding is that it meets the minimum standards of a planned unit subdivision in the RM20 zone, including the lot size, density, landscaping, parking, and building coverage. Second, that the Planning Commission does have the authority to authorize standards and requirements for the planned unit development subdivision, which include that lot area, width, yard, height, and coverage. Those conditions regarding the addressing and naming of the street and the subdivision are recommended conditions, which Sherry included on this particular staff report. So with that, I will turn it over to you for any questions or comments you may have.
Okay, thank you. Questions? Any initial questions for staff? All right, and is the applicant here to address us? Okay, and do you have anything you'd like to add? Okay. All right. Any comments or questions?
Since they've lost a unit, is there any way they can get additional visitor parking spots in there?
I think that was addressed already, and they added in where that.
So they added a couple at the bottom. I mean, at the
unit was lost, they moved some items around and added in the parking up in here. They had I think it was one parking spot here and one here, and they've modified to more equally disperse as much as they could with this particular site.
Would it be possible to do a easement on the back of this property? It would be the west of the property that would pedestrian to access Redwood Road for the bus route? Is there any, what is the elevation drop there between that parking lot and?
There's a gully there, I believe. If you guys want to come up and address that.
I'm sorry, what street are you talking about?
It'd be 89.
Sorry, what?
89 for the...
So it would be on the north of this, a pedestrian opening here so that the pedestrians could come through here and access 89 bus routes.
Bus, okay.
Yeah. So it's connecting...
Where are we looking at?
Right.
Can
here?
You pull it up?
Is
on
that
here?
Where you're looking, Bree?
Down low, well, yes, on that property line, but it would need to probably be down lower where the So anywhere on Point Drive.
Oh, like through the parking lot of the Government Trust building.
Yeah, so then they could connect with that sidewalk on the Government Trust building and get right out to the bus route. No, no.
Yeah, so right now the elevation
west.
Between
yeah.
the parking lot and the lots that we are looking at, building on, is probably like 15 feet to the back of those lots. And
but a staircase could maybe be installed.
Would be on the government
if it was
trust
also
property.
on the property of the city building.
So
it's not a city building. Yeah.
Oh, it's not.
Right. No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Whatever that building is, I thought it was a city building, but yeah, whatever that building is, yes, we will have a retaining wall in the back of that to retain from the parking lot that's below, and so the elevation on that. But yes, you could add some stairs that went down. The majority of those would not be on our lot, though.
I love the idea, and it may be that it's not a short-term utilization, right? Because the improvement would have to be agreed upon by the local government trust, because that's not our property. However, you know, we're sowing seeds.
Yeah, long range.
And it could be, it's not a hard scenario to imagine that the local government trust, which, by the way, is like, I think it's a for-profit entity. It just has this name that sounds like government. That they think, you know, we have enough parking and there is enough money to be made that we're going to develop. And that gives us the leverage to make the connection. But if we don't have the easement, then we foreclose the option.
I agree, because I think it also goes back to the same thing that happened in the Stone Haven, which we couldn't even get a pedestrian access there. Not even the road continuing, but they were just like, we can't, it's too hard, the HOA.
Yeah.
So if we could add that into, even if it's not used for many years, it still would allow.
Eventually, if it came
up. The ability to connect these people to the mass transit there.
Other comments or questions? Or a motion, anything like that? Anything you want to talk out, you can do that too.
I don't mind making a motion. What we're talking about, though, with the access, we'd want to make that a condition.
Well, that's up to the motion maker, but that's what has been suggested by. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's why I'm out. I was
yeah.
getting ready to make a motion.
Right.
But I'd rather have that right now that I'm gonna put it in. So that would be. Number two would be.
Number two would be a pedestrian easement along Point Drive.
Along Point Drive?
What's the name of your Western road? Okay. I haven't seen
it. Town's at Vantage Point, and so that's why.
Okay.
The Vantage Drive and Point Drive.
Okay.
But yeah, I was included in our other one, and so the redlined plat, it's got the new name and then a few other the
okay.
changes that were requested, so I'm not sure why.
Great.
But yeah.
So that road right here is
Point.
Is Point Drive.
Yep.
Okay.
Should have been Kyle Drive.
I know it should have. My wife said it should have been Madison Drive. She was mad that we didn't name it after her. I said next one.
Are you ready for a motion?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I move that the Planning Commission recommends to the City Council approval of the preliminary plan and final plat for Orchard Drive Townhomes, PUD, located at approximately 142 South Orchard Drive with the following findings and conditions. Number one, the proposed development meets the minimum standard for a PUD subdivision in the RM20 zone, including lot size, density, landscaping, parking, and building coverage. Two, the Planning Commission has the authority to authorize standards and requirements for PUD subdivisions, which may include lot area, width, yard height, and coverage. Conditions. Number one, completion of minor engineering red lines, namely correction to the address table, and two, address or access for pedestrians along Point Drive.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any comments on the motion? I would suggest that the second condition clarify access to the west. Otherwise, it comes across as potentially could be read as access along Point Drive. Access to the property to the west.
Yeah, property to the west or to 89, I guess you could say. Yeah, that's good.
And is that an access easement or creation of access right now? Sorry.
Commissioner Larson, do you want to share your thoughts on that?
I would be okay with an easement there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
is
that'd
that,
be good. Mm-hmm.
Is that an acceptable
friendly
amendment?
It is an
acceptable. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other comments on the? Did we second it? I'm sorry.
Yes. Okay.
Second it.
We did second it. Thank you. Any other comments on the motion? Seeing none.
Good luck.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. That motion carries unanimously. Good luck. Right. Okay. Well, this is a busy meeting. Kate, do you want to address any items on the council action update?
I only want to make sure you're aware that on October 8th, they're planning your next joint council meeting, planning commission work session. So October 8th, be here. There will be food again. So just plan on that. And there will be a presentation that night from WFRC on the form-based code. So we'll be seeing some of Ted's fellow cohort. So that should be fun. And besides that, I think we should let Sherry talk about the items, unless you have any questions.
You've done a fabulous job tonight. Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Okay, cool. Well, our last item is the minutes of August 27th. Are there any modifications? Pages 1 or 2? 3 or 4? I really don't know what lines 144 and 145 are referring to. I'm not sure I talked about waiving architectural requirements. I think it was architectural, was that was referring, I think, to architectural grade windows. We're talking about windows above that.
I think we were talking about the Winnie, right?
Yes.
I think that's what that was, yes.
So let's change this to because I just don't have any recollection of asking to waive architectural requirements. And if any of you do, but this is a fairly significant
Well, this one wasn't on the Winnie. This was on the warehouse down by Foxborough where there was no windows on the north and south, but
got it.
Because it was like tucked away in a long lot.
Oh, that's right.
And then
right.
the front of the building had windows, and then the back half of it was going to be used for warehouse.
This is why I should have read the minutes. Okay, good catch. And Andrea, I should have never doubted you. Okay. So no changes are needed
yeah.
there.
That they
wouldn't
need.
Line 443 is what you were thinking of.
Yeah, so it was the same meeting.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, any other changes or a motion?
I'll move that we approve the meeting minutes as written for the Planning Commission meeting on August 27th of 2019.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All right. And we are adjourned, non-debatable.
Good work, people.